Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, good morning, and welcome to Saturday Mornings with Joy Keys. I'm your host, Joy Keys. I want to thank you so much for tuning in. You can follow me on Twitter at Joy Keys. Also, check me out on Facebook, Saturday Mornings with Joy Keys. And we also have a group now. It's not just a page. Look for the group, and we get a lot of you'll get the announcements faster. I've done some exclusive giveaways only for group members, so you want to try the group instead of the page if you're more into Facebook. I'm also on Instagram, Saturdays with Joy Keys, and you can email me, SaturdaysWithJoyKeys@hotmail.com. You can listen to the show on Spotify, Stitcher, iTunes, iHeartRadio, Amazon Music, Google, as well as here at Blog Talk Radio. Thank you so much for supporting the show. Also, you can make donations through PayPal, Saturdays with Joy Keys, through PayPal to support the show and looking to continue the show, because it does take some financial aspects. But again, I appreciate you listening all the different platforms. Today, wow, what a controversial show I'm about to have. I know you guys are on the edge of your seats about what is about to be said. To start, I am pro-choice, okay? So just if you want to know where I stand, that's where I stand. My two guests, though, I consider them information agents, okay, if you want to put it that way. They are out there trying to inform and support women in their choices. The first guest is Lisbeth Rodriguez. She serves as the Community Engagement Coordinator for the Philadelphia Women's Center, Delaware County Women's Center, and PA State Infrastructure Project. Lisbeth develops and maintains positive relationships with state and community members in efforts to achieve abortion liberation. Lisbeth also has direct patient care by serving as a bilingual phone advocate for the Women's Centers, a group of independent abortion providers specializing in first and second trimester abortions here in Connecticut, Georgia, New Jersey. They have a website. Their website is the Women's, and that's plural, womenscenters.com. Good morning, Lisbeth.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much for calling in. Our other guest, I believe, probably is some issues, but hopefully Marsha will be calling in. She is from the ASEA Center in Texas. So, wow, let's take a deep breath here. Where are we going to begin? Let me just ask you this. Do you know the answer? What is an abortion? Some people may actually don't know what that is. What does that entail?
An abortion? Well, it depends. So a lot of people are having an abortion because of health reasons. Others, it is because of a choice they're wanting to make for themselves or their families.
Now, in terms of the physicality of it, because there's an issue of first trimester, second trimester, what's the difference between getting an abortion in the first trimester versus the second trimester?
Yeah, so in the first trimester, an abortion could mean a couple of things. It could be done via medication, or also a procedural abortion. The procedure itself is the same in the first and second trimester abortion. However, the pills can only just be done in the first.
And how soon could you take a pill? Is it really the morning after? Do you go to the pharmacy and say, I need a morning after pill?
No, that is something completely different. That is just Plan B. The abortion pills is a completely different process. In Pennsylvania, or at least out of Philadelphia, or at the women's centers, patients are able to receive an abortion in the around 4 to 5 weeks as soon as the pregnancy is visible in an ultrasound.
So you have the pill. People can go to the pharmacy and get that, and that's different than actually getting an abortion, which is a physical procedure. Now, how long does abortion take, and how am I going to feel afterwards? And can you talk about that a little bit?
Absolutely. The pills is just a less invasive procedure on the body where the patient is able to manage their own abortion at home where they feel comfortable. The procedure itself is in clinic. There's no cutting or stitching in any way, and it's very safe procedure. It's actually safer than, a dental procedure. Patient is able to, have a quick recovery and able to kind of go back about their regular routine fairly quickly.
Okay. And in terms of the second term, does a person have to stay in the hospital for that?
No, absolutely not. It's it depends. So after a certain weeks, it could be a 1 to 2 day appointment. But patient is able to go back to their homes right after their appointment in clinic.
Now, how long have you been working in this field?
So I've been an advocate at the Women's Centers for 4 years and in the community engagement coordinator role for 2 years already.
Why did you decide to get involved in such a controversial field?
Yeah, so for me, it definitely has to be for my very own community. There's a lot of stigma around abortion care in the Latinx and Hispanic community. And I personally, find this, I've experienced my own family having to manage their own abortions and hearing about that. And I really am passionate about making sure that they are receiving safe abortions and quality care.
Now, there are some people who believe that certain centers, like Planned Parenthood or your center or others, were purposely killing babies of color. Is that what you have found, that they have been steering Black women or Latino women or other women of color toward getting abortion to eradicate that race? Is that something you found?
No, absolutely not. We get families of all colors that receive the care they need and want, and it's never been a target or anything like that.
Okay, well, see, that's something that people are thinking out there, Now, you're in Pennsylvania, Delaware, Connecticut area. If I wanted to get an abortion today, what is the first step I should take?
The first step is definitely finding a provider. You can always go to prochoice.org to find a provider. Abortion is currently legal in all 50 states, including D.C., there you should be able to find a clinic, and I want to say like legit clinic, because there is anti-abortion centers there that are looking to deceive patients and looking to deter them from, obtaining the services they need, or even if they're just looking to see what their options are. So being very careful with assuring that you're not encountering an anti-abortion center. And after that, for us in Pennsylvania, if you call us, we have our advocacy center where I serve, and we'll be able to navigate the different laws and barriers that are in these different states. So, you mentioned earlier we serve Connecticut, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, and Georgia, and all four of those four states have completely different different rules and bans for people looking to exercise their rights. In Pennsylvania, that means having to overcome many barriers and restrictions, such as the Pennsylvania Abortion Control Act, and we'll help you navigate through those barriers and restrictions once you call our center.
Now, a lot of people thought Roe v. Wade was how are all the states able to make their own laws when we have Roe v. Wade? And let's just talk a little bit about Roe v. Wade. Roe, the woman, was actually a Texan.
Mm-hmm.
She was actually from Texas, and she was an unmarried pregnant woman, and she brought a class action suit. But many people may not know there was also a couple that also was with that suit that was combined. Are you familiar with that also, Elizabeth?
Yeah, well, just, you know, a little bit about Roe v. Wade is, you know, it is the constitutional right to access legal and safe abortion. This was affirmed by the Supreme Court in 1973. And just to put things into perspective a little bit, keep in mind the Philadelphia Women's Centers has been probably serving our community since 1972. You know, but legally alone, Roe v. Wade has never been enough. We continue to experience violence, stigma, and judgment. And so this government continues to put obstacles our way, regardless of this constitutional right of, you know, that was passed in 1973.
So every state is able to change the law. Is that what you're saying?
So bills are passed by the very people we elect. These bills and bans. It's what makes abortion access more difficult to reach.
Now, with the Roe v. Wade and the Texas situation, that's something that's really hot. The Supreme Court has decided to allow Texas to keep their laws. I'm like, is that even legal? I guess because they're the Supreme Court, but, you know, what's the next step for women in Texas, you know, trying to fight to get their rights back? What do you know what's going on in the background right now? What's the next step people are taking?
At the moment, the Supreme Court has chosen not to uphold our constitutional rights. And there is so many people in the ground doing the work. We have to right now be listening to them and seeing, and they're guiding us in where do we need to be and where do we need to support. Right now, I do just recommend, you know, reaching out to those organizations and seeing where the help is needed. And that means right now we're focusing on assuring that patients are receiving the care that they can no longer receive in Texas. Legally, I don't know what could happen, and I'm sure the people on the ground are currently seeing what's best for them and their patients. But I do know that right now we are just supporting those patients that are in need of the care they need, and we need to give that to them as soon as possible. So right now, on the ground.
Let's get a little detail. I'm in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania.
Mm-hmm.
Do I need my husband's signature to get an abortion?
Nope, absolutely not.
If I'm a minor, do I need my parents' signature to get an abortion?
Yes, a lot in Texas. In Texas, a lot like in Pennsylvania, you do require parental involvement. If for some reason or another your parent can't get involved, or for your safety you cannot tell a parent, you could always go through the judicial bypass that puts you in front of a judge, and the judge would then allow you to continue your care without a parent.
Now, would you help a woman, a minor, be able to do that? Because, you know, if you're a minor, that can be overwhelming. First of all, you're pregnant, and then you're telling me I got to go to court. Does your center help minors out with that process?
Absolutely. We help minors navigate through that barrier and put them in contact with the correct people that can help them. Not saying this isn't a scary process, but we can definitely help them see all their options. There is good people out there that do help minors see through this this giant barrier.
What about rape? If I'm raped or molested, regardless of my age, can I get an abortion in Pennsylvania?
Yeah. So if patients have state insurance, they can go through a process to get their abortion. However, at times this can even be a barrier. because the patient has to attend several appointments. And depending on the provider, sometimes they have to involve their primary care physician to start off their paperwork. So because of, you know, all these extra steps that a patient who's already in distress, who's already has a lot on their plate and may not have the support, this can be a giant barrier. And the stigma can just delay the patient's care and deter them from even using their insurance.
So that's for state insurance, Medicaid you're talking about. But what if somebody has private insurance? They can just come to your center or another place.
No?
Okay.
Not a lot of private insurance cover the cost. And if they do, again, it's a lengthy process to be able to even obtain those that type of coverage. So, you know,
when you
all
say lengthy, is it going to be weeks or is it going to be days? How? I mean,
it could be.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
It could be anywhere from 5 to 7 business days, not including weekends.
Okay.
And that's, of course, I'm talking about possible just paperwork. There's always, you know, what if they need to take off from work? What if they need childcare? And so that could add on more time. But in paperwork, that could definitely mean that. And then, you know, if you're needing to go to your primary care physician, right now you're not able to just go in and go out. Sometimes appointments with primary care physicians are not reachable at the moment or have to wait a while. So, yeah, it could be that. But when we exhausted these options with our patients, you know, and we know that this is not an option for them or they want to just get this over and done with because they are in a stressful situation, we absolutely guide them through other options. And, you know, put them in touch with funding or abortion funds that could help them, you know, make it to their appointment and get this over and done quicker.
Now, let's turn to Texas. Texas is saying, I cannot get an abortion after 6 weeks. And they talk about this issue with detecting cardiac activity.
Mm-hmm.
Most women, this is what I've been reading in the news, don't even know they're pregnant at 6 weeks. Is this something that you found in your activity here in the tri-state area? Have you found that to be true, that most women aren't aware and they come into the center later?
Yes, absolutely. So working as a patient advocate, I work with the Advocacy Center. We're the first point of contact with patients. And this is very real. And for many, many reasons, keep in mind, you know, you may realize you missed your period after 4 weeks, and, you know, that's when you'll be able to kind of determine. But for so many other people, there is, you know, people because of birth control, you know, or they have delayed periods. They haven't realized that, you know, they haven't had their period yet, because they have, historically, you know, had delayed periods in the past. And, so yeah, there's many reasons our patients, or patients who seek abortion care haven't realized within the 6 weeks that they are pregnant.
They also have this bounty hunter type of thing going on. Can you talk to the audience about that in Texas?
Yeah, absolutely. It's kind of unbelievable that they're putting this much energy into penalizing. And of course, you know, people of color are the people of color, people with under-resourced are going to be the ones affected by this type of law. Because, you know, they might go ask for additional support, and in looking for this additional support, you know, they can encounter such a dangerous person and further stigmatize abortion for them. That could just deter them from the care they need and maybe even, you know, look no further into that.
Yeah, the person can sue another person, a lay person or a physician, who they believe is participating in aiding or actually doing an abortion, and they can win money. So
yes.
Basically, being a snitch or ratting somebody out, I'm putting it like $10,000, recover
yes.
legal fees up to $10,000. Texas is not the only state that is going to be having this law. Georgia, Mississippi, Kentucky, and Ohio, they've also passed a heartbeat law. And based on, there was a doctor in the New York Times, Dr. Villavicencio, she said the cardiac activity detected on ultrasound is not actually a true heartbeat. It results from electrical activity, but the valves of the heart have not yet been formed. I'm going to say that again, that the valves of the heart have not yet been formed, and the sound does not indicate the pregnancy is viable.
Mm-hmm.
So you cannot have a heartbeat if you don't even have heart valves. That sounds
yep.
like logic to me, okay? So this thing about the heartbeat at 6 weeks, there is no heart. to create that. So that's a fallacy. Now, also in Texas, they do not make exceptions for rape or incest. Now, there's a line I read. It says it does permit abortions for health reasons, but the exceptions are very narrow. So I would have to read more. Are you familiar with what those exceptions for health reasons are?
Yeah, and a lot of those times it's like a life and death kind of situation for the mother. Like it would have to be like the mother's right in front of you and she's about to die and kind of like thing. But not it definitely wouldn't be like, oh, I fear for my health and like I need an abortion. It's not that. It would have to be like right in front of her eye, right in front of your eyes, like the doctor would have to be perform it because of life and death of the mother. But you know, so you have to like put yourself in that situation. So if you already know you're having you're carrying this pregnancy to full term could mean losing your life, you know,
mm-hmm.
that
they're coming to get me, people. If you guys can hear the sirens, I'm sorry. Somebody has to be right in front of the person in order to
yes.
say this is a life or death situation. All right.
Yes.
So,
but if you already know that beforehand, you know, you
yes.
already know this is life-threatening pregnancy. You cannot have this pregnancy. That means nothing to them. You
yes.
have to continue.
Because, you know, some people could have a pregnancy with an ectopic pregnancy. This goes into
mm-hmm.
people knowing about the different parts of a woman's body, okay? Many,
mm-hmm.
many people do not know a woman's body parts, even women. So I'm not trying to say it's just men. People, that's why I said people do not know the different parts. People can have ectopic. Ectopic, the pregnancy is in a tube in the woman, and if it expands, she will die. You
yes.
know? So mm-hmm. so that's the situation. But you won't know that for a certain period of time. And it may not be, you may not see that at 6 weeks. All right, let's go to, I want to help. How can I help? And where do
yes.
I go to help?
So, you know, the main thing is like battling stigma. And you're already doing that by, you know, having this conversation with me. And that really goes a long way. Battling stigma, donating to abortion funds. They're literally in the ground doing the work. And also, you could always write to your local officials. You can volunteer to become a clinic escort. Most importantly, support those around you who are looking for abortion services. And that's by doing simple things like offering a ride, helping them with childcare, because 59% of women who have had an abortion are already mothers. So these are the communities that really need our support right now.
But what about women in Texas and these other states? is it safe for me to go and kind of do this underground railroad type of thing and get people out and lose my car? Is it paying for train tickets or bus tickets so women can go places? Is that something safe? Can I be then sued? Because even though I'm not in Texas, this is a question. I'm not in Texas, but I'm helping these people. Can I be sued by a Texan?
So no, right now I think what we can do is continue to support, again, those who are, those funding, those abortion funds in Texas and the very people that are helping our patients having to travel outside of the state. Right now, like our five centers, for example, are just ready to support those who are in need to travel outside of the state. So, donate to the local Texas funds that are helping these people navigate through their abortion by supporting the travel outside of the state.
Mm-hmm. Well, we could continue to go on a little further and deeper, but I appreciate you coming on the show today and sharing your knowledge. I want to let people know that you guys have a website, thewomenscenters.com. Are you guys on Twitter, right, as well? Is it the same name?
Yes, Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook.
And so anybody could donate to you. Is there a way for people to volunteer with you if somebody wanted to volunteer?
Absolutely. You can go to our page at thewomenscenters.com and go to our Take Action page. On there, you'll be able to find the application to become a volunteer and also sign up for newsletters. We'll be able to let you know who in Texas is in need of your help and what organizations you can support on there, and also where locally you can fund abortion as well.
Thank you, Elizabeth, for coming on this morning. I hope you have a great weekend and stay safe. This is a crazy time we're living in right now.
Thank you so much for having me, Joy.
All right, I'll talk to you later. Bye-bye.
We'll talk soon. Bye-bye.
Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. I just got off the phone with Elizabeth Rodriguez from the Women's Center. You can check them out, thewomenscenters.com. They are helping individuals if they would like to get an abortion. They're helping people if they want to volunteer to help aid in women in Texas or these other very restrictive states. How they can help, they have a volunteer form, so you can go there and check that out. But there are a lot of other places. One of the things that Elizabeth mentioned real quick, be careful if you're deciding to have an abortion. Some places are not actually true abortion centers. So just investigate where you're going. I would start off with the women's centers, and they can verify if you're not in their area. Maybe they could tell you where to go. Well, next I'm going to be speaking with Nigerian author Yejide Kalanko, and I hope you guys can tune in for that show. Have a great weekend.
Adopt US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager, Learning the Lingo.
GOAT, G-O-A-T, acronym, stands for Greatest of All Time, as in spaghetti sandwiches for dinner. They're my fave. Dad, you're the GOAT.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt U.S. Kids, and the Ad Council.